So here we are in the bar area of the BFI with myself, Michael, and Alex from the Target Files. Have just recently seen the first three episodes of the new animation of Power of the Daleks. Alex, your initial thoughts on them?
Well, they are absolutely excellent from start to finish. You're completely entertained by Pat Troughton's performance. There's never been a better regeneration. And they just look like you're watching an actual film. I was sort of captivated from start to finish, really.
Same here, Al. I was mesmerised by Troughton, really. You forgot pretty much straight away that this was an animation.
Most definitely. It looks like a film.
Absolutely, Al. And the way it was drawn, were you impressed with the black and white drawings, the lighting, the shades, the way they recreated the sets?
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Every little detail has been technically drawn in, and it's amazing it managed to do it in such a short time.
Yes, one little disappointment with the sound editing. Do you want to explain that to the listeners, Al? Marquez came down and explained to us a bit of an issue they had with the master tapes.
Yeah, it was meant to be in a beautiful 5.1, which is on the DVD, thank God. And unfortunately, they didn't get the mix edit sent to the mixing desk up in the BFI's editing room. So we still had a very good sound, but it will sound better in 5.1.
Yes, and there was also a thunderous round of applause for the fan who recorded this audio on an old-fashioned reel-to-reel tape recorder back in the 1960s. He had a thunderous applause. He was asked to stand up by the presenter of this BFI event. And yeah, he gained the right sort of applause he got for maintaining and preserving this soundtrack for us, Al.
Well, I know. It's just amazing thinking it's on bog standard basic cassette, and they've taken that, and now you have an absolutely flawless audio visual, and it was sounding better once you got 5.1, but it just sounded amazing. You know, Troughton's voice is beautiful, Annika has all the sort of emotion of somebody's new to the new Doctor but trusts him, and you've got the sort of Ben who doesn't trust the Doctor at all, and that sort of gradual trust comes out for the vocals.
Yeah, there's a lot of good humour used in this story, isn't there? You know, it's the facial expressions really with animation, isn't it? It's how well they are captured. But you do get it, you know, you have the eyes looking in a certain way, you have the characteristics of a frown, of a smile, of laughter. They all came across very well, I felt.
Most definitely. And sort of actual, you can tell that the animators have looked at their faces and seen other content with them in and sort of worked out exactly how they look when they speak.
For definite. And lovely to have a panel afterwards with Annika Wills, Graham Harper, who started his long career on Doctor Who as a runner on this story back in November 1966. We also had Fraser Hines, who joined the Troughton TARDIS team in the subsequent story, The Highlanders, for his memories of working with Patrick. We had a certain fan, I don't know what became of him, called Stephen something Scottish.
Mr. Stephen Moffat, you mean?
Oh, that's the fella, isn't it? Yeah, I think he's done something on Doctor Who since then, isn't he?
Yes.
You have to say this, listeners, Moffat became a total fanboy.
Completely, and you can tell he's finished his time on Doctor Who, because he just was saying exactly what he thought about everything.
Well, technically, he has the rest of the series being filmed and next Christmas, doesn't he, Al?
Yeah, oh, yeah, of course, yeah, that as well.
But he was enthused, and he was almost like a child asking Annika Wills if she was told, and Michael Craze was told back in 66, whether Patrick would be playing it, you know, with a wig, as was suggested, just an impersonation of a Hartnell character, or if he would have all these new characteristics which we see in the script. Categorically answered no.
Which was
a very amusing part of the panel, I thought.
That was a really good panel. Would you have any things you didn't like about the animation, Mike?
One or two things with the grading of the lighting. I think there's an initial scene, it exists as a telly snap, where the new Troughton Doctor is wearing a hood and we see him pull that off for the first time. It was very suspensefully done, a great build-up of tension in this animation, but a little too sinister, I think. When you see the telly snap, he almost looks surprised, but he looked very sinister when he pulled the hood back in this animation. Put me in mind of Emperor Palpatine from the Star Wars films.
Yeah, there is a lot more menace for that scene where I think it could have been done more sort of child, you know, sort of friendly and sort of Doctor doesn't know who he is quite yet.
Yes, but story-wise, how do you feel the other characters were represented? We had Lesterton, we had, you know, a few of the other scientists on the planet Vulcan.
I think they are really well done. You know, we have quite strong males, and for a first, you have two pretty strong female characters in Power of the Daleks. You've got Holly, and you've got the sort of head of the rebels, and she's pretty strong. She knows what she's doing. So it's, I think it's impressive for its time period.
Yeah, I think what shone through with the writing and it came through in the animation was Annika's charm as Polly. I've not got a great deal of memories of seeing many Polly episodes because not many exist. But she has a great deal of charm in understanding this new Doctor, doesn't she? She really gives him a chance to grow into the role, even though Troughton doesn't need much growth because he nails it from the first moment. But, you know, you have the great cynicism of Ben, don't you? This fellow isn't the Doctor. But Polly realises he is and just uses a lot of humour, doesn't she, to bring him out of that shell, literally.
Annika is just brilliant as Polly in this episode. It's sort of, I agree, we haven't seen much of her as Polly, it's been lost, unfortunately, but he just really warmed her immediately, and she's sort of the bridging character between the old Doctor, I think, and the new Doctor.
And what do you make of my first visit to the BFI South Bank? Al, you used to be a student here back in the 1990s, and you made a good few journeys here as part of your media studies course, didn't you? I'm very impressed with the venue itself. The screening room is very spectacular, very well designed, excellent temperature, some of the most beautiful seats I've ever sat in, the most comfiest seats I've ever sat in any movie theatre, I think. Al, what do you think of the venue?
Well, I've always loved it because I used to come here a lot with my film studies degree, and it's so, if you're on your own, it's helpful, it's really... really comfy seats. I've fallen asleep quite a few times watching films in those seats because it's so comfy. And the screen is so nice. You know, we weren't that close, but I could see really sharp detail. It was a really nice screen. And, you know, just we'd had a bit of food and drink, and the food's been lovely. And so it's just a beautiful building. So if you're in London, do come and see a film.
Yes, and many a Doctor Who premiere and event gets shown here. They had a whole series of classic episodes on the 50th anniversary year, 3 years ago, 2013. Yes, excellent venue, Al. Back onto the animation. What do you think of the tricks? You know, we had a few of the animators on after episode one was shown this afternoon, saying how they use certain tricks in terms of representing wide shots, which is a difficult art to achieve with animation, and how they changed a few of those to close-ups. And you obviously had that sort of slight clunkiness of characters walking, which you always get with this type of animation, don't you?
Yeah, I think it worked, but you could definitely see where the feet should have been and they weren't. So there are little niggles there with the animation, but I think overall it worked. You know, I think because the script is so good, you're not really looking at the niggles.
No, that's just wonderful. And you know, Annika was asked afterwards what was the public reaction like to the change of Doctor, and she honestly wasn't that sure, but if it's anything like the reaction I had just now, seeing the moving image, as it were, animated, even though it's just animated at the time, Troughton nails it from the word go, doesn't he?
I think
immensely watchable television, whatever form, this or the telly snaps, or hopefully one day, fingers crossed, the episodes may be recovered.
I think that the minute you start watching that first episode of Power of the Daleks, you are not concentrating on anything but Bat Troughton, and that's how the whole thing continues. So if that had been me back when his first was on, by about the end of the episode, you'd be going, we're in Hartnell. Bat Troughton, much better. And you'd be like, you know, it wouldn't take.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take, like I find sometimes with a new Doctor Who, takes a good season before you're actually rooting for the Doctor, and I was like that with Matt Smith. It took me a year before I really got it.
And I did like the way the eccentricity of this new Doctor was sort of spread out amongst the episodes. They kind of do milk it in the new series, don't they? You have the whole of the first 45-minute episode, really, him finding himself. But, you know, this was structured better, I think. You had the first, perhaps, 10...
Much better, because you had it spread out over each of the first two episodes.
Because you had perhaps 10 minutes of Troughton in the TARDIS, first of all. Then, bang, mystery, he's outside. There's a dead body at his feet. But as we go further on, there's more eccentricity with the introduction of the recorder. Some great spinning round of humour, and Stephen Moffat made the excellent point in the panel that a lot of the subsequent Doctors based their performance on Troughton, and the fact he could change from utterly serious to utterly daft within an instant, couldn't he? Something Hartnell didn't do as much, although it was a totally different take on the role.
Definitely. I think Pat didn't know what he was doing to begin with, but he knew the things what worked, and then by definitely his power of dance. I don't think even till the end of episode 3 he's really in control.
Yeah, and that whole cosmic hobo idea is a bit of a generalisation, but it's the classic court jester, isn't he? He's the one who really knows everything deep down, and there's this whole layer of buffoonery on top, really.
Oh, most definitely. And you do trust him from the start, and that's the thing what sometimes you don't get with some Doctors.
Indeedy, indeedy. So, shall we Only a short one this time, folks, but shall we start to sum up, Al, and give our overall thoughts on The Power of the Daleks, the new animated version?
Well, the new animated version is well worth going on BBC Store tonight and getting all six episodes. It looks beautiful. It's extremely well paced. It will have a very good soundtrack through 5.1. So I'd say the three episodes I've seen are getting a 10.
Yeah, and I'm going to agree with Alex there. 10 out of 10, superb. Patrick Troughton, his voice, the animation going with it, he just nails it from the start. Annika's Polly is a lovely character, so is Michael Crazy's Ben, so are all Lesterton and all the other supporting characters within this piece. A definite 10 for me, 10 for the BFI for putting this on, 10 out of 10 for BBC Worldwide for putting this together with money from BBC America as well, I think they said. And they, one slight criticism is we're also going to get a Blu-ray version of this and a colorized version, which I don't think is totally necessary. Apparently it's something to do with the American side, it was said in the panel. How do you feel about that, Al?
As a brief note at the end, I would personally have liked the Blu-ray on its own coming out now, not having to wait till next year and having like multiple versions you spend your money on. But I don't think it works. Needs to be put into colour. Works so much better as black and white.
Yes, and also some fabulous extras by the sound of it, Al. Coming up, some commentaries, some of the original Telesap and existing 16mm recordings.
Oh, the DVD is absolutely full of extras. So it is well worth the normal, quite high BBC price, but it is well worth it because it's brilliant.
Yes, folks, and Alex, being his busy journalistic investigative self again, managed to get a question asked by the panel after the screening, which they gave very humorous answers to.
Annika, what was the differences between working with Bill Hartner and then working with Pat Troughton? And a question for everyone on the panel, what is your favourite Doctor Who Target book?
If you've read such a thing.
Well, you know, the time with Bill was so quick. So we'd do the War Machines, he was okay, and he was the Doctor. And then already we were doing the Smugglers, and already he's not well. And we're having a double a lot of the time. And then the 10th Planet, and then that was complete chaos because he couldn't hold it together at all. And then we had to take over all his lines and change the whole thing. So that was very exciting. And so then it was. Then we had the summer break, and then we've got Patrick, another whole ball game, you know, start all over again. Yeah, so it was quite an interesting sort of, you know, introduction into the show. You know, it was all, we had fainting Cybermen, we had snow going up Michael Price's nose as he nearly died. You know. It was quite an exciting time.
And have you read any of the Target books?
Oh yeah, I've read them all. I've also done audio.
And which is your favourite?
Okay, I would say The Power of the Daleks.
Yay! Yes.
And really? Anybody else to throw in a favourite Target book? Graham, I bet you've read a lot.
I've been concentrating on this question since it was set. Mindful of lists of my favourite Target book, and I've almost log jammed. I don't know what to say. Sort of all the Terence Dix ones, because he's such a brilliant writer of sort of rapid, clear, lucid prose. But I suppose above all, and it's relevant today, is the very, very, very first one. It's a very beautiful book, Doctor Who in an Exciting Adventure with the Daleks, which is a much better title. Always be called that. And it's just a lovely, lovely book, written by David Whittaker, of course, the original draft of this. But, you know, I could panic for the rest of the day about what my favourite and it's the favourite Target book cover. Oh, bear with me. Favourite write-up on the back. That's a big one. You feel it, don't you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to see some of those ones? Sorry, I'm just going to sit and for a while.
My favourite was the Icarus Erkin. No, that was my favourite.
Thoroughly enjoyable day, Al. As you said, on the BBC Store, 5:50 p.m. from, as we record this, Saturday, November 5th, 2016, 50 years to the day since the first episode was broadcast. All six available. DVD to come in a couple of weeks, and Blu-ray release to come in the new year. Thanks for listening, folks. Our next Target Book review will be another Patrick Troughton story, The Tomb of the Cybermen. See you soon. Bye from Mike.
Bye from Alex.